Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you be with us. Meditation of our hearts, thoughts of our minds. Lord God, the words of my lips, that all of these, Father, Lord Jesus, may be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Our first reading today comes from the books of Acts, chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then the next, Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. And again, if you haven't guessed, we are talking about the Holy Spirit again today. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we are, followers of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit reminds us of whose we are, that we belong to Father, Son, Spirit. The Holy Spirit, more than that, reminds us of who we can become. The Holy Spirit reminds us of who we should become. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what God has done for us. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of what God continues to do for us this day and every day. Today, we turn to the book of Acts. The official biblical title, Acts of the Apostles. But I know some people call it the Holy Spirit and that book of Acts of the Holy Spirit. Some people even call it the Gospel of the Holy Spirit, because all through the book of Acts, one thing is prominent. There's one force all throughout, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires the apostles. The Holy Spirit leads the apostles. The Holy Spirit guides them. The Holy Spirit empowers them to take action, to witness to their faith, to share their faith. And in that, sharing their faith, the church is born. And it would not have happened. It would not have happened at all if it were not for the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts leaves off right where the gospel stopped. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, till the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So that the disciples, the apostles, had been with Jesus for 3 years, following him everywhere for three, and at times they still did not understand who he was, his power, what he was capable of. And then he was crucified. He was buried. And he comes back to life and he tells them, go to Jerusalem. Do not go anywhere else. Go to Jerusalem, gather together and wait. Wait for what the Father has promised the Holy Spirit. He had been with them for 40 days. 40 days teaching them. 40 days reminding them. Just 40 days empowering them. 40 days so they could understand maybe just a little bit more. 40 days to know, yes, he is alive. 40 days to know nothing on earth, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. That is a love of God takes hold of you and nothing can break it. Jesus wanted to convince them that it was him, whole bodily form, not just a ghost, that he was here with them. So for 40 days, he reminds them that he loves them and will never let go. And then we get to the book of Acts, Jesus' last words. I will not be here much longer. When I leave, you need to go to Jerusalem and wait. Do not go anywhere else but wait. Wait on the promise. Wait on the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you know, they've been with him for 3 years. He's gone. He comes back and he tells them, okay, go to Jerusalem and wait. Not many days. Now, how many days is not many days? 5, 10, 40, 50, a year? They sit and they wait. But they don't just sit looking at each other thinking, okay, what's next? What are they doing? Scripture tells us they sit and they gather together in prayer. They pray. The church was born, I think, before the Holy Spirit came. It's just that God was waiting. He was waiting on them to become the church. They gathered together in prayer. And that's what happens when you gather together as believers of Jesus Christ. You gather together in prayer. And in prayer and gathering, you grow together. You grow as a family. And that's what they did. They were gathering together and they were praying. And at the right time, God knew this is the time. But they had to trust and they had to believe in Jesus Christ. They had to believe in his word, what he told them, and to trust them, to obey Jesus, to not go anywhere else. And we have that problem sometimes. Obeying Jesus to not go anywhere else, because we go all over the place. People these days are going all over the place. Church becomes second. Church for a lot of people is never first. Worshiping God is never first. It's always on the back burner. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know times or seasons. The Father is fixed. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the end of the earth. Jesus is basically telling them, don't worry about all that other stuff. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Listen to me. Obey. Do like I say and just trust. Do you trust in God that much? Just to listen and obey, put everything else on the back burner and put Christ, it's not just the church, put Christ, put Jesus Christ first. It's hard sometimes. We got a million and one things going on with our lives around the world and the community. It's hard sometimes to put Christ first. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white robes. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him. You know, when we did the Bible study on Revelation, you know, we saw how's Jesus going to come back? On a cloud. You know, there's one person, anytime you ask, how's Jesus coming back? On a cloud. You know, we know. We know that he is coming back. We know he's coming back. But do we live waiting in anticipation in that day? They are told together, all these with one accord, devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. One of the most important things, to gather together as the church, to be the church. Where would our world, where would our community be? But where would our world be today without the church? You know, we see some things going on in our world today that trying to push God out and trying to bring other religions in that are not God. Where would we be without the church to say, no, this is our God. This is who we follow. This is who we celebrate. This is who we are following. This is who we are obeying. to wait, to gather together and wait, to make good, for God to make good on his promises. So they're all in one place, just as Jesus told him to do. They're gathering and they're waiting. Book of Isaiah. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this is what prayer does, but especially alone, but especially together with those around you. We grow in unity. We grow in faith. We grow as the church. The world has to have the church. The church has to have the Holy Spirit. The church would have never come about without the Holy Spirit. A church cannot be the church without the Holy Spirit. Then on that day, when God saw they had finally come together and at just the right time, what happens? The day of Pentecost arrived, all together in one place. Suddenly there came from heaven the sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house. Divided tongues as a fire appeared to them, rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Up to now, they've been quietly gathering and praying, not doing much of anything, but patiently waiting. But that day, an explosion almost, or tornado, or hurricane, filling the entire house, the rumble, tongues of fire lighting on each and every one of them, but it was almost tongues of fire lighting under them. The church became the church that day, and that day the church left the building. Peter gets up, the one who denied Jesus 3 times, he gets up, and just from our upper room, the whole town hears him. They're talking in tongues, they're talking in different languages, for everybody that was in town could hear and understand them talking about the love of Christ. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him, a mighty tempest. That is God. God coming then and God coming today. All those people in that room that day filled with the presence of God. And we know the very presence of God, the very Holy Spirit that hovered over the water of creation, hovered over them, that very Holy Spirit is available to each and every one of us today. But not only today, every day. To pray and ask for the Holy Spirit. Could it be that same Holy Spirit is hovering over you at this very moment, each and every one of us, right now, just waiting to be invited in so that we can be the church. I'm not saying we're not, but that we can be the church, for the church to leave the building, to go out there and tell people about Jesus Christ. Now I know, telling people about Christ, and not telling what Christ can do for them, but telling what God has done for you. And that's the big question. What has God done for you? Do you know what God has done for you? To tell somebody that, more than just how you live, but to put it into words, to tell people about Jesus Christ dying on a cross for you, that he loves you that much. And that's what the book of Acts is about. The apostles, the disciples going out into the world, telling the world about Jesus Christ. And out of all of this, the church is born. Out of all that, this church right here, and every other church is born to go out into the world to tell people. If you can't do anything else, just invite people to church. Invite people to Bible study. We have breakfast every Sunday morning. Invite people to breakfast. Invite people to church. Invite people to praise in the park. Invite people to trunk or treat. Whatever we have going on, it's just three or four words. All you have to say is, come and see. Come and see what God is doing. After you share, it's not up to you, it's up to God. God just wants you to go out and share his love, his faith, his son. We are called to bear witness, to be a witness for Christ. And the rest is up to God. You plant the seed. That person will water it or somebody else will. But it takes the Holy Spirit to do it. It takes the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. It takes praying, God, send your spirit upon this place. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, help us. Help us to bear fruit, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to witness to our faith, faith in you, most Holy Spirit. Help us that when we leave this place, we will go somewhere to proclaim the good news of great joy to the world around us, Lord God, whenever and wherever we might be. And Lord God, we pray that whatever seed we plant, Lord God, that it may be watered. Lord God, and somewhere, somebody may come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord God, all these things we ask and we pray in your Son's most holy and life-giving name. And in his name, Father, amen.